Thank you, Mixed Ensemble and Choir and Congregation, for the blessing of the songs that we have sung this morning, trusting that they have blessed your heart as well as our Lord is pleased with what has been done this morning thus far. It's always good to have Timmy and Melinda home. They're home part of the time during a given year. And when they're home, they're here at Key and Hill worshiping with us and ministering with us. But when they're not here, they're in Bolivia. And the Lord allowed them to go this past year, this present year, I should say, from February or March to October to minister there for that period of time, along with their daughter Liberty. And we've asked Timmy to come at this point to give an update on what took place and what has in, the Lord has in store in the future. But you as a church family have been very much a part of this ministry through your prayer support and through your financial support. And we're indeed thankful when people from our church go out and minister in a foreign country, international country, and come back and give a report. So at this time, we'll turn over to Timmy Barr and Melinda to bring a report on how the Lord used them this past year in ministering in Bolivia. We welcome you.
Wow. Well, I get to follow Micah, who is extremely energetic and funny, and Joe, who is extremely good-looking and intelligent. But I have a video. Just to start off, I don't think I've ever presented in the Sunday morning service, so there's going to be some folks that this is their first time. So I'm just going to run over real quickly kind of what we do, what the ministry is about, so that y'all aren't falling behind or kind of confused. This is kind of an off-branch of what L.T. Everett has done. The church that this started out of was a church that he planted 5-6 years ago, I think, almost now. Our college and career class was looking for a project, and he had mentioned this, that it would be something that we could do, work with his orphanage, help build an orphanage. That's what it all started out with. And so I'm going to go ahead and show a small video that has been put together, and it kind of gives an overview of the orphanages that are there. There's 5 orphanages, so I'm going to get this popped up and going here. A couple of things about this video. It's an amateur video. The words roll rather quickly over it, so read fast. The music in the background is music that the boys from the street kids' home, it's their music, so it's a little cultural. It's a little bit different than what we might be used to on a Sunday morning here, but I think... Get this going here. Okay, there we go. Always said this place was not good for video breakdown. All right, let me get 1 second because I think it's important to see here. I'm gonna move on while we maybe see if this can get reloaded here. right. Well, I'm gonna talk, and I'm gonna let a slideshow just show behind me here for the next little bit. As you can see, there's five homes, like I had mentioned, and depending on what year it is, what the need is, when we first went down there was one home, and we were building a second home. Melinda and I's kind of our word from the Lord comes out of Joshua, the first chapter, where Joshua is taken over for Moses and they're getting ready to go into the promised land. 2.5 tribes have already found their resting place, as the Bible calls it, outside of the promised land. And Joshua at the end is talking to them and is telling them, you need to go over and help your brothers conquer their land and find their resting place. And that's the scripture that Melinda and I have fallen back on, as it becomes sometimes difficult, not always easy. But that's our word from the Lord. To go over and help our brothers find their resting place and to build their new homes. Just an update on what we've been doing this past year. Last year, a lot of these pictures, construction pictures, as they're passing by, we were able to build a dorm and a dining hall for the girls. They quickly grew out of that and have needed another dorm. So this year we worked on a dorm. Very, very grateful to the Killian Hill youth group that got to come down. Very encouraged to see friends and family. My family as well came down. Very, very excited to have them help out with Liberty. Gary came down just before we left. Gary Clark, extreme encouragement. Lots of great, great ideas. Look forward to having his help on some of the areas we have. A lot of projects that the kids work on. We raise pigs. I think there's some pictures of that. The girls do crafts. There are many, many projects that happen at the homes. I just want to quickly share maybe what a day in the life of, let's say, one of the girls might be. They wake up at 7:30 or 6:30. They do devotions at 7 as a group. The older girls will lead the devotions depending on what day. They do breakfast and then they go to school. They only have schools for half day. So that generally the girls go in the morning from 8 to noon and then the older girls go in the evening 2 to 6. And then after that it's homework. And in between that, when you have your half day, they are assigned quite a few chores. Pretty much all the homes run themselves. Each home generally has an administrator who's over the home. Then they have someone who takes care of all the paperwork. You know, it would be similar to, you know, what you do for your kids at school, filling things out. And then there's somebody who runs the day-to-day operations of the kitchen, keeping everything running. And the girls pretty much do all that. Passing some wildlife here in some of these pictures. So that, and then in the evening, it's pretty much all free time where they do what they want. A lot of the homes cook with wood. Actually, all the boys' homes cook solely by firewood. So that's a big chore for the boys to go out and look for their own firewood. It's amazing to see how these homes work, even as you would or I would think, well, nobody's really in charge. Well, it's their home, and they realize that, and they realize that they would be on the street if they weren't living there. So they're very involved in keeping their homes working. Back to kind of some of the things we got to do this year. We were there for 6 months. It's our longest trip so far. In years past, we've gone 3, 4, but this is our longest trip. We got to finish up some of the building that was completed last year. Put tile down on the floors, put some windows in. The windows, something that's going to kind of, hopefully I'm going to bring back to is this week, of course, being thankful. And some of the things that we just don't think about. Windows, for instance, it gets very hot, dusty, and the wind blows almost constantly down there. And so you have the sand blowing in and out of the comedor. I can't think in English. The dining room. Just in and out of the dining room. And you know, it's one of those things that it seems like a luxury. And when I got down there, you know, we had the roof on last year, and they were very excited about that. This year I got down there, and day one, the sand, the amount of sand that blows into the dining room was amazing. I said, wow, why don't we get some windows in here? You know, a couple hundred dollars. I said, well, we don't have any money. They basically have no money for building. So when I get down there, it's excitement. There's some little list brought to me. Brother Timmy, is it possible if I could do this? I mean, simple stuff sometimes is even buying light bulbs. And you know, we might think, that's ridiculous. But when you're looking at feeding 150 kids and administering every day, it gets to be a lot. So that's exciting for me. I totally enjoy that. We put a lot of safety lights in this year. We've had some problems with some people trying to enter our properties. So we got to do that. We got to drill a well this year, which was really exciting, at the boys' home so they could garden. As you see in some of these pictures, they have some really lush greenery there. However, they do have a dry season. It's part of the chores from the boys. They really get into their gardening. A lot of the boys will leave the home after 18, 19, 20 years old and go into the community and work for very wealthy individuals doing gardening work. Here's a picture of some of where our girls come from, the street. And I want to share a few little stories of where our kids come from. You saw the little girl there on the street begging. That is very common for our little girls to come off the street doing that. And you might think, you know, well, they're orphaned. They're actually not. Their parents are addicts, and they send their kids out in the street to beg. That is where two of our girls come from. You guys might remember them. Vicky, the littlest one. And Raina, she's about 9. When she came to us, her older brother brought them into us, and he recognized their need. He said, you know, I'm 13. I don't live in the home anymore. There's really no home. My mom is drunk almost 100% of the time, and she has my two little sisters working, selling at different bus stops, doing different things. They're very malnutritioned because their mom would take the money and she would buy alcohol or drugs. And so this is just a common story for us. Again, going back to thankfulness. A lot of people, when they find out they have parents, there's a little bell that goes off. Well, you know, why are you taking care of kids that have parents? That's the reason. Their parents are using them, which can be very emotionally damaging to the kids. Imagine yourself. Imagine, think right now of your relationship with your parents. It might not be great. However, they do love you. They have to carry around the knowledge that I do have parents, but they don't love me. In fact, they don't even want me. They're using me. So a lot of those kind of issues the girls have come from. However, when you see Christ change their life, I think all of the kids who have been down, the adults who've been down, can attest to the changed lives, the joy that the girls have specifically. This picture is of Chubby Bunny teaching them some great American games. Marshmallows came in a few years ago and we're able to share that with them. Then I want to share a story of answered prayer this year. Got down there. We're really trying to work on some initiatives to support our own homes, be supporting of in different ways, whether it be raising corn or bigger gardens or what it might be. The girls' home, which we've been working on for the past 2 years, so that's where kind of a majority of my stories are this year. The director came to me, both the overall director and the girls' home director, and said, we have the space. God's provided the land for us to be here in the girls' home. It's 2.5 acres. we really want to start raising some chickens for eggs. I said, yeah, that's great. That's a great idea. I'd love to build this, you know, rather big chicken house, because we're looking at probably 100 to 150 chickens, because we need enough to feed us every day, plus sell some so that it can be a sustaining project, so that when the chickens are no longer of age to lay chickens, we can buy more. So that's what we were thinking about, 100 to 150, not sure. And so as we started to pray about this, it kind of became a group prayer. Every Thursday we would meet as a staff down there, and I would struggle to understand. My Spanish is still working, but we were praying for this chicken house. So I called Amelia and my dad, because she does chickens. I said, hey, can you help me out with this chicken project? He said, well, yeah, here's some things that I know, but is it going to work in Bolivia? So I thought, you know, that's really true. I need somebody here. So I started talking and asking around different people, and somebody said, yeah, why don't you talk to this person and talk to him? And said, yeah, I think they might know. And the person sitting next to me one day said, hey, do you know anything about chickens? He goes, yeah, I'm a vet, actually. And a veterinarian down there kind of does all farm animals. I said, really, would you be willing to help me out? He said, actually, I know at home that you work for, I'll be willing to do it better. He said, I'm going to provide funds for you to build your house, to furnish your chickens, and to help you get started for a year. So those are the fun stories. That here's part of the chickens right now. The girls are learning. It's giving them a project to learn and understand. This is a picture of the new dorm that we did this year. But those kind of things happen. They're very, very often. And it's so much fun to see God answer prayers and to be on the receiving side of that from so many of y'all's prayers, so many of y'all's gifts down there. Honestly, most of this definitely would not be here if it weren't for people in the church giving to the construction projects. Answering prayer, I'm going to bring Melinda up. She has a few words to say about answered prayer for some different things, if you come now, hon. Some fun infrastructure pictures. Very cultural. They worship, you can't see that really well, but they worship the earth there a lot. Go ahead, babe.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I am going to start with Philippians 4:6. Growing up, we were taught a thing called ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication for when you go to pray. And right before I left, someone came to me in the church and said, can I have a list of things you want me to pray for you while you're gone? And someone brought this verse to mind, and it says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And that was a huge change. Instead of calling on the Lord, could you do this and this and this and this, I would spend the beginning of all my prayers thanking the Lord for the little things that He had done right when we got down there. And by the time you get all your thankfulness out, you're like, what was I going to ask about again? I don't remember. And so the first thing was housing. We did not know where we were going to stay. We got down, and we have some friends, and they have a big guest house. And they had three single girls living there. The mom was pregnant with triplets. And I thought, I don't think we should stay there very long. But they had a little room. So Timmy, myself, and Liberty lived in a little room, and it was a community house, basically. And the fact that they had one room open for us to stay in was our first answer to prayer. We knew where we would be the night that we got there. And after about 4 or 5 weeks, the mom had to go in to the hospital to stay, and they were already planning on when they would bring the triplets home, and I thought, we really need to get out of here. You know, four babies, three single girls, you know, all this. So we started looking around for places to live, and we had a place right in the same neighborhood. It was a very safe community, and So we were going forward, and we called the lady, and she said, yeah, let's meet tomorrow. And that morning, when we were supposed to meet her, she called back and said, you know, we don't feel comfortable renting less than at least a year. And we only had 5 months left at this time. And so we thought, you know, what are we going to do? This is exactly where we were going to go. So the director of the girls' home took us around one day, and everyone we called, I mean, it was not less than a year, because they have to repaint, and they have this whole thing that they do down there for renting, and no one wants to go through the trouble if you're not going to be there long enough. So one morning we went out, and there was a for sale sign on a house, and I thought, you know, that's for sale, and we're not hopefully moving here this year. I want to go home. But so the lady said, you know what, let's just call and we'll find out. So we call, and the man says, let me talk with my wife. And she said, usually when the man says that, that's a no, this isn't going to work. And the thing is, he called back later on that afternoon, and they were in such a struggle to pay the bank for their housing that they were ready to rent it. So they rented it to us for 5 months, which is pretty much unheard of there. And it was an amazing house. It was big enough to have our families come. I mean, it was 3 bedrooms, but that was pretty big, I thought. So, and we also hosted a team there. And just the way that the Lord provided that, it was better than what we expected. So that was wonderful. Also, they weren't Christians, and we met them, and they said, you know, our daughters go to church, and they're Christians, but we just were not, and we have respect for it, but we were not interested. And we were able to have dinner with them and speak with them, and every time they came over, they would stay for a little bit, and it even got to where the man, he called Penny one night and just came over and hung out for, you know, 30 minutes or so just to talk. So that was really neat. And they said, please call us when you come back down, or if you know anyone else who's interested in renting, let us know. So I feel like that was definitely the Lord opening that door for them. And that was neat. The next thing is for Liberty. Every time I thought about taking her down, I would just get nervous and cry and think, oh my word, she's probably going to die while we're down there. I don't know what to do. We didn't get her vaccines before we left. We were planning on waiting until she was a little older. And so I thought, of course, you know, someone's going to breathe on her and she's going to catch some crazy thing and it's going to be the end of it. And because that's the culture down there. You see a baby and it automatically is your baby now. You know, you should be able to hug it and love it and everything. That's definitely different for us. And so the first thing was, we got there in April, and the mosquitoes were horrible. And they have a thing, dengue fever. And we, you know, mosquitoes, there's really, it doesn't matter how much bug spray you wear, they're going to get you. They will get you. So I tried, and we had a girl we had spent all day with, and she was admitted to the hospital with dengue. We had a guy from down here who had to come back. He was from the States, and when he came home, he had to go to not to the hospital, but he had dengue, and I thought, you know, Liberty's going to get this, and people die from it down there. There's no vaccine. There's no cure. You just wait it out and hope for the best. And that was the first thing. She didn't get it. Every morning I got her up, she had new bug bites, even with a mosquito net. I mean, these things saw through the net. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And so that was just amazing that she had so many bug bites on her all the time, and none of us ever got it. So that was an answered prayer. Also, I know a lot of moms are like, oh, I can't wait for my baby to crawl. And I thought, where's she going to crawl? There's no carpet. It's just dirt. And when she started crawling, I remember the first time I picked her up, hands were black, and I just thought, this is disgusting. Here we go. This is how it's going to be. So every time I gave her a bath, the water came out black. She looked Bolivian because she was always covered in dirt. And we pulled glass out of her mouth and metal and sand and all sorts of things that I wouldn't think you would normally have to do, but aunt, because we lived with aunts. They were part of our family, always there. And she would just sit, wow, looking at them. I mean, they would just run. And so that was a blessing as well. We never had a choking issue. She never got sick from, I mean, that's only the things I know. I have no clue what else she ate. So that was definitely a blessing. Also, with the pregnancy, I don't really have a doctor here, as a lot of you know. And down there, we have a lady who is an American. Well, she was an American citizen. She's now a Bolivian citizen. And she is a doctor, and she's a midwife as well. And so just being able to call her anytime and go over there, it was 5 minutes down the road. That was such a blessing to know that I had someone who, you know, could speak my language, number one, because you're not really taught medicine lingo in Spanish when you're in high school or college. That's not really that important at the time. So it was nice to be able to speak my own language with that. And a lot of you know I had a little complication while I was down there, and it came right when our youth group came. And I was so upset at first, thinking, this was my group. I was so excited to spend time with them. And why does this have to happen now? And then it dawned on me, if it was going to happen, that was the group to have it happen with. Because I had 13 new babysitters who wanted to take Liberty and just play with her and enjoy her. And so I was thinking, how in the world am I going to lay in this bed with a 7 or 8 month old? I forget how old she was at the time. And so it did end up working out perfectly, having them there at that time, and they could just take over and enjoy her, because Timmy could take her to work with him. And I know some of the girls wanted breaks. Maybe Teresa liked to babysit a little more, so she would just watch Liberty, and it was such a blessing. And then a little funny story. We have a friend down there who is Bolivian, and we were chatting one day, and he said, you know, do you feel like your Spanish has improved? I said, well, no, because I was in the house a lot with Liberty. We would, you know, the morning naps, the afternoon naps. And I said, my baby talk has gotten really good, but my Spanish, I don't know if that's really improved. He's like, yeah, I don't think it has either. I'm like, okay, all right, well, thank you, Jacob. He's like, you need to get out more. You need to practice that Spanish. So that was kind of a setback this year. So hopefully next time we go, I'm going to, you know, be around more Bolivians. And also the final thing was the girls with Liberty. They were just asking all the time, why is your daughter so precious? And they get this little talk that they do down there. And they just loved her like she was their own. And they would play with her. And when I first got there, it was, don't touch her. Don't touch her face. If you want to touch where her pants are covering her lower leg, that's fine. With one finger, after you wash it. And so I was really, really hesitant and nervous about that at first, because you don't know what these people carry. And polio was a big deal down there, and she didn't have her shot. And down there, it's hard to find someone who actually does a polio injection. They do it all orally. And my doctor, the same lady, the midwife, she was saying, you really want to get an injection, because when you go back to the States, that's what they do, and you want it to be compatible. And so we searched everywhere to find someone who would give us the injection. They didn't even know what I was talking about half the places. They'd pull out this thing, you know, she drinks this. But I said, no, that's not what we're looking for. We need the injection. And we finally found it, praise the Lord, and these women had never even given it before. I mean, they'd given shots, but not the polio. And they're like, look what we have. We don't even know what this is. That's great. So it worked out, and it was wonderful. But so with the girls, they really enjoyed just holding her and playing with her and loving her. And towards the end, you know, it didn't even faze me. I would just pass her to them, because, you know, it was just a trust thing for me. It was a holding on. How can I control this? And it doesn't matter how safe you are, how safe you think you are. The Lord is going to do what he sees fit. And so I could just see, with the culture difference, the struggle it was for them to see me saying, no, you know, I'd rather not. And towards the end, we just all shared her, and they loved it, and they're so excited that we're going to bring 2 down next time, and they just can't wait. So It was just a wonderful trip, and just seeing how the Lord answered so many prayers and answered unspoken prayers, things that I didn't even think to pray about. He protected us and just showed us so many different blessings while we were there. And so I want to thank y'all for being interested in our lives and for praying for us and loving us. Thank you.
Thank you. As we kind of go about finishing up here, the plans, we've had a few years of a lot of construction. We are kind of at the finish of what I call the first phase. So we will continue to be down there. There is no library, homework area, at two of the homes, so we'll probably work on that, in the next couple of years coming up. The Lord has, blessed the girls' home with an amazing church family. They hadn't really had a good, church family that had just welcomed them, before. And this year they have found that, and that's just been a real super blessing. The boys' home is farther out in the country. There's smaller churches. It's a larger amount of boys. There's about 75 boys, and they just kind of swallow a church. So I think this year we've decided we'll probably build the boys a church building in the coming years. So there's definitely some more construction that we'll be doing. We're also, the Lord's kind of encouraged us to help as the kids get older and start out of the homes, what to do after that. So hopefully with some help from Gary Clark, we're going to work on some of those kind of issues on how to transition from the home to the real world. Pray for the homes. There is a home in Post Ravi. It's our newest home. God provided that this year through another missionary that needed to go home. Provided an amazing property. It's probably our nicest property. But it's about 7 hours away. You might ask me how many miles that is. It's 73 miles. But the roads are just unbelievable. They're worse than any gravel driveway you've ever driven on. We are the only ray of Christianity in that area. It's very, very, very oppressed by, the faith that worships the earth mixed with Catholicism. And we've been under attack in that city. That is the home where the siblings go. On the video, they're kind of all sitting on a bunk bed. You might have thought it looked like a mom talking. She's 13 years old and she's been taking care of her brothers and sisters for 13 years. You know, that's just how her mom wasn't there at all for her. So there's 37 siblings that live in that home. Please pray for that home. It's Post Ravi. Just in the past couple of weeks, and really, there's been some attacks from Satan for sure, on that home. As I close out, I want to think about a gratefulness issue. We heavily lack gratefulness. We think about it this week, so I want to bring it forth. It worked in well. Just the music in this church, Mike, would say that, you know, at least once a month, how amazing the music is here. And until I started going to Bolivia, I really took our music for granted. The encouragement it gives your soul is something that you don't put in perspective until it's not there. So thankful to the music of this church. Different things, little things that you go about in your life this week as we think of Thanksgiving. Our families, parents that love us, windows, hot water. And again, it's just going to be me talking up here until you really have experienced those kind of things. Our country. When we left Bolivia, two Sundays before, the president made an edict, whatever. He's the president, but he'd be very much becoming a dictator, that you could not travel. You could not go to church. That Sunday, he wanted to save under the guise of saving gas. So be thankful that we have the freedom that we have in this country. The little things that we enjoy, our education system, just as we close out, there is a program. I'll mention briefly that you can adopt a kid and correspond with him if you're interested in that. Anybody's interested, they can talk to me after. Am I forgetting anything, sweetie? I know I am, but I know we've got something else to do after this. So I just want to close in prayer real quick, keeping the kids there in mind and the staff. God, Lord, come before you, humbled today by my church family and how giving they are, Lord, how they kept us in prayer. God, as times were hard, I could know that I had people praying for us while we were gone. Lord, we thank you that you gave us this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of LT and the churches that he brought up there, and the continuance of his ministry there. God, we thank you for the kids. We just ask that you would be in each one of their lives. Lord, help us to remember them in prayer. God, as we think of Thanksgiving this year, Lord, would we remember that there are people all over the world, Lord, that need you, and that, God, that we can help in a small way by our prayers and by our funding, God. We just, again, thank you for this church, Lord, and the family that they are to us. We love you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.